We're beginning week number two of our new series, Fresh Air. And my goal for this series is to give you four fresh air principles that can literally revive you, that just can just breathe fresh air back into your lungs, that fresh air to get you moving again in life. Because we all find ourselves in these lifeless states where it's, you know, we called it last week the doldrums, this dead, stagnant, lifeless state. And God's desire is to get you out of that and blow fresh air into your life to get you moving again. Last week, principle number one was fall in love with Jesus. And how many know there's nothing better than that? We all need to just fall in love with Jesus. That alone right there can change our life. Well, this week, we're going to get into week two. And as we do every week, our theme verse is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. We read it every week. And in this verse, God gives us a choice and God gives us a challenge. And I want to share that with you this morning. I would encourage you, if you have your worship pack, there's notes inside with all of the scripture as well as fill in the blanks where you can follow along with the message today and take notes if you choose to. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life, that's that fresh air, and death, that's the doldrums, blessings and curses. Now here's the challenge. Now choose life. That's God's desire for you this morning, for you to choose life, for you to have that fresh air that just blowing back inside of you. And today is really one of the most important out of the entire series because we're talking about your attitude. Your attitude determines so much about whether you have fresh air in your life or not. And I believe we are in a place today in our generation, in the world that we live in, where attitudes are at an all-time worse, where the condition of people's hearts, their attitude, their mind is worse than any other time. I really believe in the history of this world. You look at people today, the evil, the sickness, the condition of people's hearts. You look at the tragedies and the things that are happening around the world. We live, it's just sick hearts. People just have sick attitudes, sick minds, sick hearts like never before. And the Bible predicted this, that in the end times, one of the great signs of the end times would be the condition of people's heart, the condition of their soul, their attitudes. And I know a lot of times we talk about the end time prophecy as being earthquakes and natural disasters and economic collapses. But really, the Bible says one of the greatest signs that you're in the last days is the attitude or the condition of people's hearts. And so what I'd like to do is show you a little bit of these end time attitudes in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul begins to describe the state of what these last days would look like. He says, but mark this in verse 1. There will be terrible times. And this word terrible in the Greek, the real root of it is demonic. I mean, these are evil, demonic times in the last days. And now, again, notice how he describes these last days. It's not earthquakes and natural disasters. He says, in these last days, people will be lovers of themselves. I think that's true about the world today. Lovers of money, yeah? Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Have we ever lived in a generation of kids more disobedient to their parents and disobedient to adults than the generation we live in now? And now I want you to look at these four uns with me. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, or you could say unloving, and unforgiving. And that's what I want to talk about for a moment, is these four uns, because I believe all of us have these uns in our life. All of us have one un or another, but all of us are going through something. And what I want you to do this morning is I just want you to be very honest and transparent with yourself. Just recognize where you're at, the state of your heart, the state of your soul and your mind, and just be honest and recognize and allow God to blow some fresh air into it and get you out of that state and get you out of that situation so that you can really live life to the full. The first one I want to talk about is ungrateful. Ungrateful. That is, we are so consumed with what we want that we forget about what we have. How many know people like that? They're just so consumed about what they want. They don't appreciate, they don't enjoy the very things that they have. They always want more. I mean, every other word is, I want this and I want that. And they're so busy wanting that they don't enjoy what they've actually been giving. I mean, God blesses them with something or they get something new and immediately they want the next thing. They don't even enjoy the thing they just got for a moment without immediately beginning to say, I want the next thing. I want, I want, I want. I mean, how many of you know last year the iPhone 5 came out? What did that mean? That meant that brand new iPhone 4 you just bought was now a piece of junk. That's all it meant. Because we want the next thing. We want more. Remember the days when you used to have to run with a CD Walkman on your side? You had to run really smooth because it would skip every other thing if you ran too hard. I mean, it's like we have more technology, more advancement as a society than any time in the history of the world. I was reviewing a book, The Progress Paradox by Greg Easterbrook. And in this book, he talks about all aspects of Western life have vastly improved over the past century. I mean, the quality of life today is better than it's ever been. We have more technology, more advancement, more science, more medicine, better. We have more and better than any other time in the history of the world. Yet the state of people's hearts is worse than it's ever been. People are more unhappy today than any time in the history of the world. And yet the quality of life is the highest as it's ever been. You know, he goes on to say that really gratitude, acts of forgiveness, optimism, that's what really gives you a high quality of life, not technology, not science. Now, one of the things the book talks about is choice anxiety, which is becoming a major problem in the world we live in. I mean, you get in the car to go to dinner. How many of you know you got 40 options within a quarter mile of your home? What do you choose? Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? There's just so many choices. I mean, there's choice anxiety everywhere you go today. I mean, you walk into places, it's just choice after choice. And the more choices we have, the more ungrateful we become. Because as soon as we get something, we want something else because there's something better, something newer, something nicer, something smaller, something bigger, something faster. Always something new that we just can't be grateful for what we have. And I love grateful people. I was thinking about Patrick and Rosie the other day who work in our children's ministry. If you've never met Patrick and Rosie, they're an amazing couple. They're just, honestly, you're around them. They're some of the most grateful people you've ever been. You talk to them. How you doing? Blessed, Pastor. Blessed. Just blessed. I just blessed. God has just been so good to us. And it's amazing to see just the level of contentment they have just in what God has done in their life and what God has given them and where they're at in life. I just love being around people like that. I woke up this morning and I want to clarify, I'm not saying this for the sake of the message. I woke up this morning, I looked out the window. It was so beautiful and sunny. I didn't go outside because it was freezing. But outside the window, it was beautiful and sunny, and I was reading my soap for the day, getting into the chapters that we read as a church together. And honestly, I was just overcome with this gratefulness for this church, gratefulness for you. You know, before I accepted the position of pastor of this church, I had the privilege to travel around the world and speak at many churches and be around different groups. And I can honestly say, I don't think I've ever been in a church that I love more than this church and with people that I love more. You are an incredible group of people. And I don't want to get too mushy on it, but I really do love you guys. I mean, getting to know you guys and your heart and your life and where you're going, it really is, I just count it one of the greatest joys of my life that God has allowed me the privilege to get to be a part of your life as the pastor here. You know, I think about this church, this holiday season, we as a church collected over 700 boxes for Operation Christmas Child that we gave to kids around the world. I mean, the generosity, the compassion of this church. The Christmas tree lot gave over 300 Christmas trees away this year to needy families and to military families to say thank you for their service to our country. Just a couple weeks ago, Marsh Moore led a whole team of people from our church to Mexico, to one of the orphanages down there that we care for and support. And I look at the generosity and the compassion of this church and how you love to give. We last year gave $25,000 to our missionary in China to get a new car in China for the work that they're doing. And then last week, we had over 100 people from our church go to Los Angeles to visit the Dream Center, the inner city operation there. And we were able to give them a $12,000 love offering to bless the work that God is doing in the inner city of Los Angeles. And I just think this is an incredible church. I mean, a people who are giving, who are generous, who are compassionate, who love God. And it is such a joy to get to be a part of that with you. Grateful people, grateful. The second unholy, unholy. People, we have so many people today making choices that are literally polluting our heart. Just making us unfit. I'm not saying you're unworthy in the eyes of God, because Jesus has forgiven you. He loves you. He saved you. You're on your way to heaven. You're just unfit on earth. I mean, you're just messed up on earth, dealing with stuff that you haven't dealt with, you haven't got through. I mean, you look at the condition of the world, we're literally polluting our minds. You know, we look at these mass shootings going on around America in movie theaters and schools, and then we wonder why, and yet we're training our children in every video game they play to do this stuff. Polluting, and I'm not getting legalistic about it. I'm not telling you what you can watch and what you can't watch and what you can listen to. It's not about that. It's not a question of can you do it or can you do it. It's a question of does it benefit you? Is it the best for you? And I'm not going to give you that standard. You've got to come up with that standard between you and God alone. But you got to ask the question, what is best for me? What is the most beneficial stuff for me to fill my mind with? What is the most beneficial stuff for me to fill my heart with? Some of you, you know, you deal with depression and anxiety. Well, look at what you're watching on TV. You know, what are you filling your mind with? You know, some of you are polluting yourself, and you wonder why you're emotionally a wreck all the time. But then you look at what diet you're feeding your mind. And again, I'm not talking about your standing with God. I mean, God loves you. God forgives you. You're on your way to heaven. I'm talking about, can you be used by God on earth? Are you fit? You know, Timothy says we have vessels of honor and then vessels we just can't use for anything. You know, and it's like, you know, at home, when you're hungry and you want to, you know, get a bowl of cereal, you're not going to the sink getting that dirty bowl with spaghetti stains all over it when you got a nice vessel of honor that's clean in the cabinet. That's what I'm talking about here. Some of you, you know, you're dealing with stuff and it's preventing you from really being used by God to the fullest. And I'm telling you, you are in a church that will walk with you, that will care with you, no matter, you know, people carrying deep secrets and shame, and it's just holding you back and it's crippling you because you've had these addictions that you've not been able to overcome. I'm telling you, you're at a church that we will walk with you to overcome that stuff, no matter what it is, no matter how bad it is, how dark it is, how ugly it is. God can forgive you. God can heal you. God can walk you through a process of freedom where you don't have to live with that anymore. We're gearing up a small group right now for men struggling with pornography because I want to see guys free. I want to see guys get over that stuff. It's one of the biggest addictions of our generation today. And it just makes us unholy. It doesn't mean God doesn't love us and we're not going to heaven. It just means we can't be all that God wants us to be because we've got this shame and these secrets that just hold us back. Unholy. It's an attitude that God wants to deal with. Unloving. Unloving. And to really understand this, you first got to know what real love is. Agape love. God's agape love. Agape is the Greek word for God's love. The perfect love. Here's a great definition for agape, God's perfect love. Intentionally choosing to do something caring for someone regardless of the consequences to yourself. I mean, this is loving somebody else solely for their benefit, no matter what you get in return. And we live in a world where we'll love, but it's always with strings attached. We'll love, but it's just so that we can see what we can get back. We'll love you if you love us. But agape love is, we'll love you, period, no matter what you do for us. And we're living in a generation that is just so unloving, that has no, you know, you look at the way we view human life. You look at the way we view people today, just not interested in other people. I read some shocking statistics this week that right now in the world that we live in, there are 27 million people in slavery. Right now in the world, 27 million people they estimate in slavery, in sex slavery, in labor slavery, and just slavery. You add up the entire history of this planet, all of the slavery through the African American slave trade till now, there are more slaves in the world today than the entire history of this planet combined. See, we're living in a generation that does not have any value for human beings, doesn't have any value for human life at all. Unloving. And I'm not just talking about the victims. I'm talking about our hearts. This is a condition of our heart being unloving. God didn't create you to live with a hard heart and to be unloving. God wants to blow fresh air in you and gets you into that state of his perfect love, that agape love, the Greek says, where you love unconditionally. And then here's the biggest one of all, unforgiving. Unforgiving. And this is huge. I mean, this is a big deal for a lot of people. Why? Because we all live in a world where you're going to get hurt. We all go through stuff. I mean, as long as you live on planet Earth, you're going to have an opportunity every day to be unforgiving. How many know what I'm saying? Somebody's going to offend you. Somebody's going to irritate you. Somebody's going to bother you. Something's going to happen on this planet where you're going to have a choice every day of whether you be unforgiving or forgiving. And the big tragedy is when you see Christians or believers who are unforgiving, that struggle with forgiveness. I mean, think about it. Jesus wiped away your sins, paid a debt that you could never possibly pay on your own, and yet you're not willing to give the same gift to other people. And the problem really isn't people, it's the devil. I mean, the devil just wants to kill you. The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to take the fresh air away. The devil wants you to be unloving, unholy, ungrateful, unforgiving. That's his game plan. And so we want to know what is Jesus' game plan for our life. And here's the big light bulb for today. It's more up to you than you know. It's more up to you than you think it is. It's not necessarily about your circumstances or your situation. It's about the choices you make in the inside in regards to your attitude and into the condition of your heart. Jesus said it like this, John chapter 10, verse 10. Here's the devil's game plan. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's his game plan. He wants to steal your joy, rob you, kill you, destroy your life. That's what he wants. But I love the game plan of Jesus Christ. Here's the mission that Jesus came to earth for. This is what his desire for your life is. I have come that they may have life, and he doesn't stop there, and have it to the full. That's Jesus' game plan for your life. That's what he wants. He doesn't want you to just have life. He wants you to have life to the full. That's fresh air. How many would love to have life to the full? How many know it would be a lot more enjoyable living on earth if you had life to the full? It'd be a lot better. You'd be a lot happier. You'd be a lot more full of joy, a lot more full of peace. And that's his game plan. And not only is it his game plan, it's possible. This is an actual possibility for your life if you'll do the right things to get there. So how do we get this fresh air? Well, this is what I want to do. I want to inject you today with four things to help you get this fresh air, to allow this game plan to play out in your life. And the title of the message today is Good Medicine. Good medicine. Because how many know when you get sick, you need some good medicine? When your heart gets sick, your soul gets sick, your emotions get sick, you need a little bit of good medicine to get you out of that, because we all have uns in our life. All of us got uns. I've got uns. You've got uns. We all have some type of un in our life. And here's the theme verse, Proverbs 17, verse 22. A cheerful heart. What's it? It's talking about the condition of your heart. It's talking about your attitude. A cheerful heart. Your attitude is good medicine. If you'll get a cheerful attitude, a cheerful heart, if you'll get cheerful on the inside, it's like good medicine. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says it like this. The joy of the Lord is your strength. How many know you're going to need some strength to get through the day? Well, joy is your strength. You get the right heart, you get the right attitude. It is a joy. So I gave you four uns. Now let me give you these four solutions to the uns. Number one, make the choice every day. Make the choice every day. And what I like to do in the notes is I like to leave the fill in the blank as the most important part of the sentence. But really, to me, as I began to look through this, every day is really should have been the fill in the blank. Because how many know we all made the choice last month, but we got to make the choice today. You know, you may have made the choice Monday, but you got to make the choice again Thursday, because someone's going to bother you again. You know, you don't just make the choice one time. We have to learn how to make this choice every day. Every day we have to make this choice, and your attitude will not take care of itself. You have to choose this. Let me explain it like this, because most people think, well, it's not my fault. You don't understand. It's not my fault. I didn't do this. I was thinking about Aaron, who presented the flag this morning. This week, he was pulling out of his parking lot in his car and, you know, didn't have his something right. And the door was open and hit the clutch wrong or something. And all of a sudden, his car backs out with a little wall and rips the door right off of his car. I don't even want to know how expensive that's going to be for him. But I mean, just ripped the door right off his car, the side, I mean, everything. I mean, no, you got to make the choice every day, because every day you will be given the opportunity to have a bad attitude about life and get upset and get mad. But here's a great key to life. Life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you respond to it. Life is just 10% what happens to you, 90% of how you respond to it. Because we all get to the point, I know I do, and so if I do, I can imagine there's many other people where we think, well, I deserve to be this way. I deserve to be grumpy to my wife because you don't know the kind of nasty emails I got this week and the mean phone calls I got this week and what people did to me. So I deserve to be a little grumpy to my wife and kids. I mean, we don't deserve to be grumpy to our wife and kids. No matter how bad your day at work was, you got to make a choice on the way home from work. What kind of attitude are you going to have when you get home? What kind of attitude are you going to have when you go to work? Because every day you're going to get a choice to get upset. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says it like this. Let us throw off everything that hinders. I mean, you got to throw this stuff off. Let me give you a key to life. This stuff doesn't naturally fall off you. It's not going to naturally just fall off. You got to throw this stuff off because it's going to hinder you. It's going to mess you up. And for me, the best time to do this is the first part of the day. I love this last week. We are right now in 21 days of prayer. We just finished week one of 21 days in prayer. Got 2 weeks left. Every morning from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., Monday to Friday, we are in this room praying, just seeking God, worshiping Him, calling Him. And I'm telling you, it has been the best week of my life, just putting God first, beginning of the day, making that choice in prayer. I would encourage you. If you got time, stop by for 5 minutes or stop by for the whole hour. It'll set your day off right. Just come by 6 a.m. It literally will set your day off right. And I've got to make it every day. I got to make it the first part of my day, or it's a really tough day if I don't. I read a journal the other day, and there was this brother and sister that put their elderly mother in a nursing home, and they were really worried and concerned. They wanted it to be perfect. They wanted everything to be right and the furniture and the whole bit. And they got their mother to the nursing home. And they showed her the room. They said, "Are you happy with the room?" And I loved her response. She said, "Happiness is something you decide on ahead of time. Whether I like my room or not doesn't depend on how the furniture is arranged, but how I arranged my mind." How true is that? Happiness, you have to decide on happy. I got to decide in the morning I'm going to be happy today because I may rip the door off my car today. So I need to decide ahead of time how I'm going to respond to situations like that and not be a reactionary person that's just always reacting to life. But I'm going to act. I'm going to decide every morning how I'm going to live, what I'm going to choose, who I'm going to be. And I'm not going to let life dictate who I am. I'm going to make those decisions every day. And so that's why I begin the first part of my day. I pray every day when I wake up, "Lord, I'm going to want to hate a lot of people today. I'm going to want to get annoyed. I'm going to want to get aggravated. People are going to bother me today, God. But I choose this morning, I'm going to have a winning attitude. I choose this morning, I read this prayer the other day that I wanted to share with you. I love this prayer. Dear Lord, so far today, I'm doing all right. I've not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I've not whined, complained, cursed, or eaten any chocolate. I haven't charged anything on my credit card. But Lord, I'll be getting out of bed in a minute, and I'm going to need your help a whole lot after that." Well, how true that is. Here's a great prayer for you to begin your day. Psalm 19, verse 14. "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart," he's talking about your attitude, the condition of your heart, "may the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Make the choice every day. Number two, develop a high appreciation for life. Just choose to have a high appreciation for life. This is your life philosophy. Now, I'll be honest with you. The first one is pretty difficult for me. It's tough for me to make that choice every day. This one is a lot easier for me because I'm just naturally a glass half full type of person. I honestly believe I can do anything. I mean, I really do. I believe you can give me any challenge, any obstacle, I'll figure out a way to get through it. That's just who I am. But this isn't everyone, and this is your view. You've got to choose. You don't have to be an eternal pessimist. You can make a decision to have a high appreciation on life. You can choose to be a glass half full person, or you can choose to stay a glass half empty person. It is your choice. It's how you view things. And one of the great examples to me was the Apostle Paul. This guy's life just was terrible. I mean, he just went through one challenge after another. He's getting beat. He's getting shipwrecked. He's getting stoned. He's getting whipped. He's getting left for dead. He's thrown in prison. I mean, how many know this guy's life just stunk? I mean, he went through, I don't think there's anybody in this room who had a life half as bad as the Apostle Paul. I mean, it was just rough, and yet he had this incredible attitude about life. It just came through in his writing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he goes, "Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, and yet possessing everything." I mean, he just had a great attitude about life. Wouldn't you love to be around a guy like that? A guy that just always saw the best in you, that always saw the best in every situation, that always just looked, you know, a guy like that to me is Steve Gaspari. I don't know if you've ever been around Steve Gaspari in our church. He's my accountability partner. I get to meet with him every week. And I tell you, I just love being around him because no matter what he's personally going through, challenges, difficulties, his attitude is always, well, I just want to see what God's trying to show me. I just want to see what God's speaking to me about this situation. I'm learning from this. And when he's going through good times, he just really appreciates life. He gives thanks to God, just really loves life, just encouraging, stable, fun to be around. There's just great people to be around. Your life philosophy. And here's the secret. Be grateful. That's the secret. You want to have a high appreciation for life? Learn to be grateful. That's the key to having a high appreciation of life. See, being a wanter, you'll never be happy. Yeah, wanters are always miserable. I mean, they're always depressed. They're always sad. They're always discouraged because they're always wanting. People who can learn to just be grateful about what they have and be grateful about life, they enjoy life so much more than wanters do. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Be thankful in all circumstances. It doesn't say be thankful in the good times. It's easy to be grateful when everything's good. Paul says, be thankful in all circumstances. No matter what you're going through, find a way to be thankful, for this is God's will for you. And I meet with people all the time. They say, Pastor, I just want to know what God's will for my life is. Easy. Be thankful in all circumstances. That's God's will for your life. That's as easy as it is. Just learn to be grateful in every circumstance. Have a high appreciation for life. Number two, find something positive in everything. Find something positive in everything. And I underline the right words in this one, find something, because you got to find it. How many know it's not easy to find good in everything? You know, it's just not easy. You have to look for it. You've got to go find it, because it's easy to find good when everything is going right, but it's tough to find good when you just got fired. It's tough to find good when the door just got ripped off your car. It's tough to find good in those type of situations. You got to go find it. You have to find it. You got to work for it. I love the way Paul talks about this in Philippians 4. He gives us a secret to this. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about that stuff. See, if you think about that nasty, ugly, miserable stuff long enough, you're going to be ugly and miserable. You got to force yourself to think about the good things. You got to force yourself to think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right. And this is especially true with people. I mean, no, you will literally find something good in every person, and you'll literally find something bad in every person. And whatever you're looking for, you'll find it. If you want to find the bad in somebody, guess what? You're going to find it. If you want to find the good in somebody, you'll find that too. It's your choice. People can either irritate you or they can entertain you. You decide. But that's the choice in life. I remember going over to the Forum during Christmas in that parking lot. I mean, I had to make a choice. These people are either going to irritate me or they're going to entertain me, because it was nasty over there in that parking lot. People fighting for bargain spots, mad, angry. I mean, this Christmas joy on their face. I mean, I just decided I'm not going to get irritated. I'm just going to be entertained at the look of everyone's faces. See, every person's either a problem to be avoided or a person that just wants to be loved like you do. You choose. Choose. Find something positive. And then lastly, the last thing I want to close with today is turn everything over to God. Just turn it all over to God. Because here's the problem. You're going to still, after today's message, face a bad day. You're going to have a bad day after today's message. You'll make mistakes. You'll not do the principles right, and you'll have a bad day, and you'll make some mistakes even after everything I taught. But the mistake isn't having the problem. The mistake is what you do with it up to that point. What are you going to do with it when you do make that mistake? What are you going to do with it when you do have that problem? You can try your best, but when all else fails, turn it all over to God. Just turn it all over to God. Even Jesus had to do this. On his worst day, when he couldn't go on, he said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." So you just got to learn to take all that junk, all the garbage, everything you're dealing with, all the problems, all the situations, all the trials. Do your best to find something positive. Do your best to have a high appreciation. And when you've tried it all, turn it over to God. Just turn it all over to God. Because many of us aren't happy because we're trying to do it ourselves. See, that's the thing. You can't do these 3 points by yourself. The three previous points, you can't do them by yourself. You need God's help to do this stuff. This is not a willpower motivational message. This is you need the power of God in your life to do this stuff. You need to depend on God to do this. Self-discipline is not willpower. Self-discipline is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that can only come in your life when you know the Holy Spirit and have a relationship with him. You need the power of God to do it. Philippians 4 says it like this. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't be worried. Don't be stressed out. I don't know anyone in life that said, you know, this worrying is really working out for me. If I can worry just a little bit longer, I'll get out of this problem. No one's like that. But Paul doesn't say just not do it. Paul gives you the key to not do it. Because let me know, if you try to stop worrying, all it does is make it worse. You can't stop worrying. You've got to do something else. You have to do something else if you want to overcome worry. And Paul gives it. He says, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, there's that gratefulness, present your request to God. He's saying, give it to God. Give it to God. Just take it to God in prayer. And he goes on to say, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The choice is you can leave your problem here today in prayer, or you can take it home. It can either be your problem or it can be God's problem, but cannot be both of your problems. So I would recommend you just leave it to God. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety, all your uns, all the uns that you struggle with on him because he cares for you. This week I got an email from Aaron's wife, Betsy, about they found out last week that they were being now stationed in Bahrain for the military. And so they were going to the Middle East and they've got 2 kids. And she was just freaked out. She was stressed. She was worried. They were supposed to be going to Japan. Now they're going to the Middle East with their whole family and just stressed. And she sent me this email. And this is why I love doing our soap journal every day. I can't encourage you enough to get into God's word on a daily basis. God wants to speak to you every day. Don't let Sunday be the only time God speaks to you through a church service, but learn to hear God on a daily basis. Look at this. She talks about her journal. She goes, good morning. I had to share this with you. So Friday, we got the news of moving to Bahrain instead of Okinawa, Japan, which was a huge shock and came out from nowhere. Well, Saturday morning, I was so worried and had so many questions and concern. I was searching for answers on the internet, places to live, culture, is it safe, etc. And then I stopped and I went into my daily Bible reading. Talk about an eye-opener. Last Saturday's reading was from Genesis 12. It says, the Lord says to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And it goes on to say how he will bless you and take care of you. Absolutely amazing and such an eye-opener that when we need answers or have concerns, the Bible has the best answers. Now, all we need to do is be obedient to him. Thanks for introducing soap to Coastline. I'm sure others are finding it just as powerful as me. There's nothing more powerful than God's word. There's absolutely nothing more powerful than God's word and getting into it daily together. So as we close today, let me give you fresh air principle number 2. Last week, number 1 was fall in love with Jesus. This week is found out of Philippians 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Fresh air principle number 2. Choose a Christ-like attitude. It's your choice. Your attitude should be the same. And you may say, well, it was easy for him. He was God. Well, if you keep reading in Philippians 2, it says he gave up all of his divine qualities. On earth, he was man. He gave up all of his divine privileges. He gave up all of his divine rights. The only reason he had power on earth was because he had a relationship with God, and it was God's power through him, but it was the same that's available to us. He didn't have power on earth because he was God. He had power on earth because he had God. That's the difference. He had the same power that's available to you. You can choose and be empowered by him to have a Christ-like attitude, and have that fresh air just blow into you. And that's why I wanted to start the year off with this series, because I really want people to get this fresh air in them. I want you to enjoy 2013. I really believe God's going to do some incredible things through this year, but you're going to have to choose a Christ-like attitude. Would you close your eyes with me this morning for a moment? Before we go any further, I just want to invite anybody here today that needs to make a decision this morning to say yes to God. You're not part of God's family today. Maybe it's your first time in church, but you've never made a decision to surrender your life to God, to accept his invitation to be a part of his family. You see, God's building a family and he wants you to be a part of it, but he's not going to force you. You have to make a choice. You have to choose to be a part of his family. And the Bible says we make that choice by saying yes to God's son, Jesus. That's why Jesus went to a cross and died, to give us the opportunity to make that decision for him. And there may be people here today who are just away from God. Maybe you were part of God's family and you lived in the house with God, but you just left. You're like the prodigal. You left and you're away from God today. And I want you to know that God is saying to you this morning, would you come home? Would you just come home? I love you. There's nothing you could have done. There's nowhere you could have been that is beyond my love and my grace. I want to take you home. I want you to come back. I just want you to come home today. So if you're in either one of those situations this morning, you need to either say yes to the invitation of being part of God's family for the very first time in your life, or you need to come home today. If you're in either one of those situations and you'd like to join me for this prayer with every eye closed, I want this to be a personal moment. Would you just raise your hand right now and say, I want to join you in that prayer this morning. Right now, just raise your hand and say, I'd like to join you in that prayer. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Now what I'd like you to do is lead you in a simple prayer. And you can say this to yourself. You don't need to do it out loud. God can hear your thoughts. The prayer is simple. I just want you to say, God, I accept your invitation to be a part of your family. I put you first in my life. Just say that to yourself for a moment. Second part of the prayer is we all need God's forgiveness. We've all made mistakes and we need his forgiveness so that we can be righteous in his sight. So just say, God, would you forgive me of my mistakes, the sins that I've committed, the areas of my life where I've just missed it? Would you forgive me? And then the last part of that prayer is one of the points of the message, just be grateful. Would you just say thank you to God this morning? Would you just say, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for letting me be a part of your family today. Thank you. That's it. That's it. If you'd look up for just one moment. For those of you that joined me in that prayer this morning, there's a connect card on your seat. On the back of that connect card, there's a box that says, I made a decision to put God first in my life today. I would encourage you on your own to check that box, and you can drop it off in one of the tithe and offering boxes in the back of the building. What we'd like to do is we'd like to contact you, to pray with you, to give you some resources and tools of what it means to walk out that decision. Honestly, the best thing you could do and what we're going to recommend you to do when we contact you through the card is come to the 201 class. Because in the 201, we're going to get into the essentials of Christianity. Four simple things that you need to do to be a great Christian. Four key things to get you started on the journey. You're going to learn a lot of stuff along the way. These are just four key essentials to get you started. It'll be just in a few minutes over in the Family Center. As we close today, we got these little business cards for everyone. They're on the back on all the tithe and offering boxes. And I would encourage everybody to grab some of these. Grab a little stack of these. We'll put plenty of them out. We've got more left over. And the card simply says something extra to show you that God loves you. And all we want you to do is when you're out in the community this week, if you're at a drive-thru, just pay for the meal behind you. Give the card to the girl that's working the cash register. And just ask her, would you tell them your meal's been paid and give them the card? Just let them know that God loves them. When you're at Starbucks, just pay for somebody's coffee behind you. Give them a card. We just want to blanket this community with love and let them know that God loves them and that God has something special for them in their life. It's a great way to evangelize. It's a great tool to just go out there and just let people know. You know, we call it random acts of kindness, but how many know it's not random? God does use these strategically. A friend of ours, one of our coaches, Lane Schrantz, who spoke last month here, he told me a story at his church where a girl came to their church who was literally going to commit suicide. And on her way to commit suicide, she wanted to go through a drive-thru. And I'm not making light of it, but she just felt she needed a Big Mac before she did it. And so she went to McDonald's and she pulled up to pay. And the lady said, "The car in front of you paid for your meal, wanted to give you this card." And it so changed her life that she ended up accepting Jesus Christ, getting involved in church and changed her. So this is not a random act of kindness by any means. God's going to use these things strategically for us to show his love to this community. So I'd encourage you to grab a stack of these as you leave today. Would you stand with me as we pray and close? Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that your game plan for our life is to give us life and life to the full. That's fresh air, God. So let us take these principles, let them apply it to our life, and let us just have that breath of fresh air back into us so that we can really live for you passionately, enjoy life, enjoy our families, enjoy our children, God, enjoy everything you've given us, Lord, because it all comes from you, and we are so grateful today. So we thank you, and we love you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next week.